The topic that I want to discuss is one that is confusing, and a lot of people are confused about it. And that is, in this week's parasha, Parsha has told us, what exactly is going on with the brachas? What exactly is going on? Yitzchak had no clue that Esav was such a rasha. Rivka did understand. There was some sort of machlekes here between Rivka and Yitzchak, but they're not communicating about it. She has to trick Yitzchak into giving Yaakov the brachas. Why don't they just work it out? Sounds like there was an interesting machlekes here. One thing that we do know is that in the beginning of the parsha, we see already that Rivka is having troubles with her pregnancy. It's not just physical troubles. She's having hashkafic troubles. According to Chazal, when she would pass by a place of Kedusha, there was rumbling. And when she would pass by a place of Tumah, there was rumbling. And there was like a contradiction in the essence of what's going on over there. So they tell her they're twins. And Rav Yavoid Sa'ir. And she's given a nevuah. It wasn't Yitzchak that gave her the nevuah. According to Rashi, she went to the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, and she received the nevuah there. Did Yitzchak know about it? Did he not know about it? We don't know. So here are the questions. The Parsha tells us that Yitzchak is getting old. He can't see so well anymore. And he calls Esav Benoi HaGadol, and he says, the makor for trick-or-treating is here, right? Usually this parsha comes out a little bit closer to Halloween because he wants Esav to bring him matamim. How do you translate matamim? Something that has ta'am, something very sweet, something very tasty. Treats. And what does Yaakov do? Tricks. So this is makor for trick-or-treating. Okay, in any case, so Yitzchak wants Esav to come and bring him this food. And what's the point of that? Somehow that's going to facilitate the bracha. So we can put that on hold and discuss that another time. What is the pshat that Yitzchak Avinu needs matamim in order to give him the brachas, to have nevuah? Like what is that all about? Okay. But Rivka, when she finds out that this is what's going on, so she goes and she gets Yaakov, and what does she tell him? What does she tell him? She says, I want you to go get the brachas, right? Rivka Amar El Yaakov, Benoah Lemor. Yaakov, Hinei Shamati Esavichim Medaber El Esav Achichel Lemor. I heard your father speaking to Esav, and he told him, bring me Sayid, go trap me an animal. Vaseli Matamim Vaychela, because I want to give you the brachas, Lifnei Hashem, Lifnei Mosi, before I die. Va'ata B'nei Shema B'Koyli. Listen to me, Lasher Ani Mitzavo Esav, what I'm commanding you to do. This is an interesting introduction. She knows already. She's warning him in advance. Yaakov, I need to talk to you about something. You're not going to like it. Lech na letzayin, go to the sheep and get me 2 goats. Ve'esos ha-matamim labicha, will prepare them just like he loves. You're going to bring them. He's going to eat. And he's going to give you the brachas. Now, she never actually says thinking that you are Esav, but that's obvious. But we don't have the same dermatology. I'm very smooth. He's very hairy. We know already that's why he was called Esav. He was like Asurity from the beginning. So what's Yaakov nervous about? Seemingly he's only worried about getting caught. So let me ask you a question. Do you think that Yaakov wants these brachas or he doesn't want the brachas? In other words, is this an excuse? But he really doesn't want the brachas? Or he really does want the brachas, and this is just a practicality. Well, how are we going to pull this off?
He didn't want to go along with it. They go all Oshas 11.
What?
Oshas 11. You don't know this? It's like a heist movie.
But I'm serious. What is... There are a few possibilities here, right?
I mean, he says like, Ulai. Which is like...
Yeah, then he says, Ulai Musheni Avi. Some want to say that he really wants to get caught, yeah?
He wants to get caught.
Yeah, some say it like that. Maybe, perhaps, he will feel me, and then I'll get busted. I'll get a klala, and not a bracha. So you get the impression that Yaakov Avinu wants the bracha, right? So that's interesting. So if he really wants it so bad, why doesn't he just work it out? If this has ever happened to you, you'll be dealing with somebody. when you want them to do something, and they respond to you in this way, like, oh, but what are you going to do about this? And you're like, okay, that's a legitimate question. Why are you saying that as an excuse why we can't do it? Why don't you ask me as a question, what can we do about that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah? So you right away, you understand from their response that they don't want to do it. It's not that there's an issue here, because if there's just an issue, they would ask it as a practicality. Yaakov, you know what it said, but how are we going to pull this off? Because we don't have the same, you know, what should we do about it? But he's refusing to do it. It's an excuse. So you get the impression that he doesn't want to do it. Why doesn't he want to do it? So I have another question. Do you think that the brachas that Yitzhak is going to give to Esav, do you think these are good for Klal Yisrael or bad for Klal Yisrael?
How do you define Klal Yisrael?
The future Jewish people.
Okay.
Yeah, well, whoever they're going to be.
What are the brachas?
What are the brachas? So what are they? Take a look. What are the brachas? What are these brachas?
It was like you have the fruit of the not the fruit of the field, like the cream of the field almost. You live off the land.
So what do you, how, let's try to give it a category. So what are these brachas? What do they revolve around?
And going over like physical power and stuff. So like you'll live off the fatness of the earth.
Okay.
You'll be like a ruler.
Okay.
Okay, wealth, power.
Wealth, power. What category do all of these things fall into?
Physical.
These are all very physical blessings. You know, there's a code word for this. Gashmias. Yeah. These are the brachas of Gashmias. No?
Yeah.
Is there any mention of Olam Haba? Is there any mention of spiritual benefits over here? I don't see any, do you? What are they? You're going to have dew, and you'll have the fat of the land. I know fat is, you know, bad thing, but it's probably like not trans fat, it's the ultra fat. It's probably, okay? You have all kinds of what do you call it? What's Dagon? No, Dagon. Grains. So as opposed to animals and whatnot, your crops are going to grow well. Tirosh. Everyone's going to work like you're saying, like a ruler, yeah? So that's what it is. So do you think those things are good or bad for Klal Yisrael?
If Esau was going to get it, bad.
Oh, you mean by definition?
Well,
but didn't Yitzchak think that Esav was going to be a big tzaddik? Isn't that the machlokes? Is there between Rivka and Esav? And Rivka and Yitzchak?
Yeah, so I'm saying that are these brachas, are they good for Klal Yisrael, meaning if Esav gets it? Is that what you're asking?
No, I mean like this. If Rivka is telling Yaakov, I want you to get these brachas, and Yaakov seems resistant, almost like he's making excuses.
Yeah.
So why doesn't he want these brachas? So maybe he does. Maybe he's just worried about getting caught and he just can't fathom doing it. Maybe because he's such an Isha Emes that he can't do this because it's so sheker. It's such a lie. It's such a trick. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe not. Maybe he knows already that these brachas are going to be a big challenge to his descendants. Why would I say that? Why would anybody say that? You have a thought? Why might this be a bad idea? Other than getting busted. Busted notwithstanding. Is there a reason why you might fathom Yaakov Avinu doesn't want these brachas?
First of all, they're not meant for
him.
Okay. But what about inherently in the brachas? That sort of goes into the tricking it. Like maybe it's not destined for him.
I'm just curious, how did they know that the brachas were coming to Esau? How did they know?
How did who know?
I guess Yaakov, sorry. How did they know?
Rivka overheard this happening, apparently. So she says... Yeah, she overheard the whole conversation. And Yitzhak says to Esav, go, bring me.
Why did they have to wait?
What?
Why did they
have to wait? Who? Who's he? Why did Yitzhak require the food in order to do it?
Yeah.
So I said, I don't want to talk about it now. That's an interesting thing. What it has to do with, perhaps that was part of Yitzhak receiving Nevuah, or maybe that was what Esav had to do to get. Whatever the reasons are, leave it aside for now. But that's what happened. So I want to understand... Is there any reason why Yaakov went out on these brachas? So, do you have a thought?
So, even because Because it's all physical.
Okay, it's all physical, and therefore?
He's a tent dweller.
Maybe he just didn't think he earned it.
What?
Maybe he
earned it. Maybe he did or did not?
Did not.
He did not feel like he earned it. The Yaakov wants to focus on the spiritual, and he thinks the physical will be detrimental to him. So the Beis HaLevi, he points out that if you take a look in Sefer Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu is preparing Klal Yisrael for Eretz Yisrael in their future without him, so he points out to them that he shamer lecha. This is in Sheni in Parshas Ekev. So it's in Perek Ches, Pasuk Aleph. He tells Klal Yisrael, be careful. Ventishkach es Hashem aleikecha, lest you forget Hashem. Yeah, pen, not ulai, right? Lest you forget Hashem. Levilti shamor mitzvaysav, umishpatav chukasav. You're not going to keep the mitzvahs. Why would Klal Yisrael not keep the mitzvahs? Listen to this. Pen toichal v'savata, lest you eat and be satiated. And you build big mansions in the five towns in Muncie. No, it's talking about Eretz Yisrael. It's talking about Eretz Yisrael, not Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, you're going to do really well. And you'll build big houses. And you'll have lots of cattle. You'll be rich. Silver and gold. Everything you have, you'll have a lot of it. And due to that, be careful that your heart not become, so to speak, exalted. And you forget Hashem. And it took you out when you had nothing, when you were a slave, when your mamash didn't even have possession of yourself. And then he goes on, and all these kinds of things. See, that's pretty clear, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I want you to understand that I don't want you not to do well. I want you to be matzliach, even physically. And you're going to be matzliach, even physically. He's telling them they will. But you have to be really careful. Because wealth is extremely dangerous. Because it leads people to forget about Hashem. And that cynical comment that there's no atheist in a foxhole, because they have no choice but to rely on Hashem. But if I have my weapons, and I have my guns, and I have my bombs, and I have my planes, and I have my army, so what do I have to worry about? But when I'm terrified in the foxhole, the enemies are coming, so that I'm scared, I have to rely on Hashem. That's a cynical comment, yeah? But there's a truth. That's the way people are. So there is an argument to be made that Yaakov Avinu was a little nervous about the brachas of Olam Hazeh. Yeah? And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu reflects himself. Okay, now let's focus on what exactly was Yitzchak thinking? Let's take a vote. Do you think that Yitzchak was totally lost and thought that Esav was a tzaddik and Yaakov was on welfare? Yoshev Ohalim, you know, he didn't have a job. Yeah. Or no? Is there something else going on? What do you say?
I think he knew. There's no way he didn't know.
He must have known, you say. How could he not know? Okay. Maybe he's so absorbed in his nevuah and his avodas Hashem. Maybe just you're saying a person that absorbed probably had a sense already.
I think maybe in a fatherly sense he saw his potential.
Yeah, he had like these Hittite wives, so I'm pretty sure like he wasn't the happiest guy. Son.
Seems like he's already getting married to people that they didn't appreciate, you're saying.
Yeah. He loved them. He knew he was good in a certain sense, maybe in essence.
Okay.
But I'm sure he knew that he wasn't really doing everything.
Must have known. What did he say?
I heard from a Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz,
mm-hmm.
of Isha Torah.
Sure.
He needed, I think it was him, he felt that he needed the bracha. I mean, he was struggling with his tithes, and I don't know if that's an appropriate bracha for the struggles he had. I'm not sure if I'm quoting him correctly.
But you agree? In other words, he must have known who he was. And he felt somehow that these would be the brachas that would assist him best. But in a chanami, he must have known. So you agree. Does anyone want to argue the opposite?
It just seems very hard.
He was less of a Torah scholar.
And Rivka apparently disagreed with that. That these brachas should go to Esav. So what is their machlokes about? What are they arguing about?
Well, I mean, Rivka could be looking at it more emotionally. And Esav could be looking at it more firstborn.
What do you mean?
It's not to say that Esav doesn't know.
Okay.
Because it's still...
So let's say this. We're all in agreement. So they both understand there's a difference between these two children. Yaakov is certainly the more spiritual, the more dedicated to Avodas Hashem, and Esav is not. He's more physical.
So they're arguing that probably they both agree that Esav isn't like doing what he's supposed to do. But on the other hand, you don't want to exactly give him the bracha because of that. So maybe you give Yaakov, but on one hand, the other hand, Yaakov maybe can't handle this bracha because it's not meant for him. So they're arguing we should give Esav or should give Yaakov.
Okay, so how do you sum it up? So what would be the two sides?
So would probably, her argument would be we should give Yaakov because Esav isn't doing what he's supposed to, not in that place.
So what's going to happen? What's the worst case scenario? What'll happen? What's the worst thing that'll happen?
Because then Yaakov will get the Bracha and then it'll maybe destroy Yaakov in a sense.
So we risk destroying Yaakov. We want the Bracha to go to Yaakov. Why? Because Esav doesn't deserve them.
Right.
And if we would give them to Esav anyway, what would happen? He's already a Gashmi, so what's to lose? You're saying, but it's not right, because he doesn't deserve it. It's a reward.
You can make something that's not right even more powerful.
So you want to take it away from him, because it's like a punishment. Take it away. And Yitzchak thinks...
And Yitzchak thinks that if you give the breath of Yaakov, then it'll just destroy Yaakov.
And Esav, by giving him all the power in the world...
I think Esav would just use it more as like, regardless of the situation, he has to believe that.
Because Yitzchak doesn't know that the Bechorah has been sold. So he figures these are the blessings that go to the firstborn no matter what. And he really would have given it to Yaakov, but he's not the firstborn. That's your argument?
Okay, I don't know how they work. All I know is initially, the Bracha was supposed to go to the firstborn.
I thought inheritance was supposed to go to the firstborn. Who says anything about Brachas? What are Brachas anyway?
I don't know the 11th of the Brachas. I don't even know where this Bracha is.
I don't know either. What is this Bracha business? I don't know.
Blessings, and then Yosef says, no. It's the elder.
So you should put your right hand on him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah?
Whatever it is, I'm saying.
When we do Shabbos, when father goes around, doesn't he do oldest to youngest?
Yeah, but you don't go to the oldest and say, you get everything. Anyone else? Sorry. I brothers.
Yeah.
Right? But that's what happens here. But Yitzchak gives a brachas. Yitzchak gives a brachas to who he thinks is Esav, or maybe he doesn't. Okay, we'll see. And then when Esav comes in, he says, "That's it." And what does he say?
Yeah, sorry.
We give the same brachas to all the children. Okay, so first things first. When Yaakov comes in to Yitzchak, so what does Yitzchak say to him? Wow, that was fast. Yeah. How did you catch it so fast? So what does Yaakov say? You ready for this? Hashem, your Lord, made it happen. Made a coincidence. Yeah, made it happen. Right after that, again, so what happened so far is that it's a little faster than Yitzchak expected. So Yitzchak, is he suspicious that maybe Yaakov's trying to steal the brachas? Why would he be suspicious? And Esav answered him. He says, whatever, it was a Kaddish Baruch, worked it out. For you, because he wanted to give me the brachas. So you're a big tzaddik. So far everything makes sense, right? V'yomer Yitzchak el Yaakov, gishanav amushcha b'ni. Come close and let me feel you. Ha'atoseh b'ni Esav imloy. Are you really Esav or not? Wait, did you hear what just happened? There's something about what Yaakov just said that made Yitzchak suspicious. Can you figure out what it is?
You're God.
That sounds like Esav something would say, no?
Maybe the mention of
Yeah, so that's what Rashi says. If you take a look in Chaf Aleph, Rashi writes, Gishana v'amushecha, Amar Yitzchak v'libo, Yitzchak said to himself, Ain't derech Esav liya shem shamayim shagur b'fiv? Esav doesn't normally mention Hashem. V'zeh Amar ki hikra Hashem alekecha. And this one said, Hashem, your Lord. Who's thinking like that? So, right away, you know from this Rashi, by the way, and forget Rashi, isn't that the Pashut Pshat? Pashut Pshat. Why is Yitzchak suspicious? Because he answered the question, God did a coincidence. Must be because of the way he said it. So you right away you see from Pashut Pshat that Yitzchak knew that Yaakov, or at least not Esav, Esav certainly not. We don't know the positive. The negative we know. Esav was not normally talking about, he didn't say Baruch Hashem. You know what I mean? He wasn't going around like, how you doing, Esav? Baruch Hashem. Esav didn't say Baruch Hashem. They said, here he did. So he's suspicious. Right away, it goes to show you that Yitzchak knew who Esav was. Yeah? Right away, it goes to show you that. Anyway, there's more to it than that. But it's also interesting that Yaakov took that risk. This is just a footnote. This is not what I'm talking about. But as a footnote, why Yaakov couldn't figure out that Esav doesn't talk like that? Yaakov knows how Esav talks. So why didn't he answer the way Esav talks? Why is he risking this?
I think Yaakov could only lie to a certain extent.
He can't bring himself to not say that, right? It's interesting. So just footnote, yeah?
He doesn't really want it.
One possibility is he's trying to get caught, maybe. But the other possibility is that he really can't, he just can't not say Baruch Hashem. That's how shagur befiv it is. We should all strive for such a madriga. That's, you know, there's a positive and a negative there, right? Someone asks you how you're doing, you say Baruch Hashem without thinking, yeah? So how are you doing, Baruch Hashem? Baruch Hashem what? You know? So they say Rav Huner used to ask that to the Talmudim when they would come to him, so how are you doing? And they would say Baruch Hashem, and he would say, I didn't ask you if you were religious, I asked you how you were. Yeah? Baruch Hashem good, Baruch Hashem bad, you know, how's it going? Anyway, but in any case, that's just a footnote. So, it seems like that was pretty clear that Yitzchak did know Esav and Yaakov pretty well. So I guess the last question really is, actually it's a little bit of a proof. When Esav comes back in for the first time, and he discovers that his brother had stolen the brachas, so he gets really upset. And what does he ask his father for? A bracha. And how does Yitzchak respond?
I already gave it away.
There's nothing left. Look, what does that mean?
Can you give him the same thing?
What is it? And I'll tell you something worse. It's not even true. It was a lie. If you look at the end of the parsha, it says that Yitzchak sends Yaakov to Padan Aram, to Lavan. And you know what he says to him? If you take a little earlier in Perk Chav Ches, he calls him in and gives him a bracha. But it's a very Malaysia got Ishmael's Canaan, get married in Padan Aram. And this is what he says to him: HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you bracha, will multiply you, make you into a great nation. V'yitain lechas birchas Avraham. He's going to give you the blessing of Avraham. Lecha ilazaracha itach, you and your descendants. The rishtecha is eretz megurecha shenasan elikim laAvraham. That's Birchas Avraham. Yitzchak gave Yaakov Birchas Avraham. What is Birchas Avraham? That you will be Klal Yisrael, and you're going to get Eretz Yisrael. That wasn't mentioned in the Brachas to Esav. Does that mean that was never intended to go to Esav? It does, doesn't it? So let's wrap it all up. Let's tie it all together. So what did we ask? We said, does Yaakov want the brachas? Does he not want the brachas? Seems like he's making excuses. We said, are the brachas good or bad for Yaakov? We said, it seems like they're actually bad for Yaakov. We said, Moshe Rabbeinu warns Klal Yisrael, you're going to get rich, you're going to forget Hashem. Gashmius is very, very dangerous for Klal Yisrael. So we can understand why Yaakov wouldn't want the brachas, if he knows that's what they are. What was Yitzchak thinking? Did he really think Esau was a big tzaddik? Yaakov was on welfare. So you see from the pasuk that already Yitzchak knew very clearly that Shem Shamayim was not Shagur Befiv. Shem Shamayim Shagur Befiv Yaakov. Shem Shamayim is not generally fluent, not fluent in the mouth of Esav. He knew who he was. So then what's pshat in these brachas? And you see there are more brachas. Both Yitzchak and Rivka knew their children very well. The bracha of being Zera Avraham was always going to go to Yaakov. So what's the machlekes? So bottom line, so the machlekes between Yitzhak and Rivka is over what? Like we said, whether or not the brachas of Olam Hazeh of Gashmias should go to Esav or Yaakov. So what is that? What is that all about? So you were arguing what? And if we give it to Yaakov, it has the potential to destroy Yaakov. If we give it to Esav, then what? Can make him really powerful, and that's going to be a disaster. So why did Yitzhak pick one way, and why did Rivka pick the other way? So Yitzhak, this is the Beis HaLevi. Yitzhak felt that if you want to be able to be successful in Ruchnias, in being Klal Yisrael, you can't have Olam Hazeh. There's nothing to talk about. You can't have Olam Hazeh. We know what it's like. We know what it's like to have things and to not think about Hashem. And we need it. That's what the pasuk is. So Yitzhak said it can't be. And he had decided. He was determined. There's nothing to talk about. Nothing to talk about. Rivka, perhaps because of the nevuah she had received, Rabbi Yehuda Sayer, that there's going to be a certain servitude that Esav is supposed to have towards Yaakov.
Did Yitzhak know that?
We don't know. Sounds like not. So she has a pushback. It's interesting. She can't talk to Yitzchak about it. It's not like a machleik because he's going to give in to. But she's going to convince him because at the end of the day, if a Kaddish Baruch orchestrates it, then apparently that's the way it was supposed to be. How do you know that Yitzchak was maskim that they should go to Yaakov?
Because he gave him wrong.
But it was a mistake. Think about this for a minute. This is this is a serious question. If you give a blessing to someone thinking there's someone else, who does the bracha go to? It goes to the person you think you're blessing, doesn't it? How? How does it go to a person that's in front of you? If you give a person $1 million and you don't realize who's in front of you and they make a kinyan for somebody else, first of all, the whole thing's a mekachtos. They're a ganav. They're stealing it. But this is not a physical item that you can steal.
She thought it was.
Okay, that's one way to argue. The other argument is that it doesn't make any sense. And that you can't bless somebody.
Yeah,
and
there's no way she's that stupid.
Well, obviously, so she knows Yaakov's going to get the brachas. But how's it going to work? So your argument is because you can steal the bracha just like you can steal a physical object. But there's another possibility.
It has to be.
But another possibility. Because when Esav comes in, and he says, "Get up, Dad, I got your dinner." V'yomer le'Yitzhak, no shame, Shemayim Shagar B'Fiv in that sentence. V'yomer le'Yitzhak, Aviv Mi'at, who are you? What do you mean? Ani bin chabachay amesav. Vayeched rad Yitzchak charada gidalad ma'oid. Yitzchak became terrified. What's he terrified about? So according to Rashi, he had a sense that Gehenim came in with Esav. Okay. But there's also another possibility that he just realized that his whole...
Yaakov had not wanted the rachat because he knew that his relationship to Esav would have been completely damaged.
Anything's a possibility. Right? Possibility.
Because it seems like this is for the beginning of the fallout.
Sounds like they may not have gotten along so well before that, but it's,
yeah,
this definitely made it worse.
Now you.
Yes, but hold on. So what is Yitzchak so terrified about? So one possibility, of course, as Rashi says, is that he had a sense of Esav, of the depth of how bad he was. But also something just changed. What just changed? Yitzchak works with Hashgacha Pratis. He understands that Kaddish Baruch Hu orchestrates things. And if I just gave the brachas to Yaakov, then that's a proof that the brachas are supposed to go to Yaakov. And that's how he looked at it. I'll give you a totally different example out of left field. Yaakov Avinu, you didn't know until now. Yaakov Avinu got tricked also. How did Yaakov Avinu get tricked?
With Leah.
Yeah. So can you imagine this scene? You wake up the morning after your wedding where you thought you married Rachel, and in bed with you is Leah. What do you do next? First of all, I'm not so sure the Kiddushin was Chal. You know what I mean? Like, really, we're married? It's not who I thought you were. That's what we call a Mekach Ta'us in Halacha. It doesn't work. If you sell somebody something, and you think you're buying a diamond ring, and it turns out that it's, you know, cubic zirconia, then the sale is not Chal. Yeah? You go back, your money back. It doesn't work. Yeah? So what's going on over here? And what does Yaakov do? Okay, we'll marry Rachel too. What in the world? Because he was so sensitive to Leah's feelings, that's what it was? Maybe. But there's something more than that. There's the fact that if a Kaddish Baruch Hu orchestrated it, that this happened, then this is Minashamayim. That's how we have to relate to things that happen in the world. If something happens, nothing happens unless it's Minashamayim. Even when it comes to free will, we discussed this in the past. If somebody with their free will does something to you, then it meant it was supposed to happen. What do you mean? But he shouldn't have done that. That's right. He shouldn't have done that. He utilized his free will to do it. But you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu commandeers our decisions too. If a person decides to do something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make a decision whether or not it should come to its fruition. What Rav Tursky used to say to me, he said, let's say I want to punch you in the face. Now he's like 6 foot whatever, and I'm like, you know, 5'5". And like, it was scary. He had a big black beard back then. But in any case, let's say I want to punch you in the face. Doesn't mean I'll connect. I made a bad decision. But whether or not I connect with your jaw, that's Min HaShamayim. So if it was able to happen, because I can slip on a banana peel, it happens all the time in the cartoons. You hear? So Yitzchak's the same way. If it happened, it's Min HaShamayim. So what does he say? Wow, he gets terrified because his whole outlook of life, of the future of Klal Yisrael, the future of Olam Hazeh, was wrong. That's what he just realized. That's his Charadah Gedolah. Everything I envisioned was wrong. He was wrong. So then who was this guy? And then he says, Gam Baruch Yiyeh. You hear that? Gam Baruch Yiyeh. At that moment, Yitzchak says, he gets the brachas. Wow.
Wait, but Gam also?
Yeah. Ba'avarcheyu, I blessed him. Gam Baruch Yiyeh. He should also, he gets those brachas too. It's interesting. You're right. You're asking, what's the gam?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I don't know. I have to look up and see if anybody says anything. But that's what he says. Not only did I physically give him the physical brachas, but also he will receive that. Not only was it... Yeah. So that's how Yitzchak is masking that this is all correct. So Rivka... So Yitzchak's approach was, it's not possible for Yaakov to have Olam Hazeh and be successful. And Rivka says the opposite.
Wasn't he rich?
Huh? Who? At that time?
Yitzchak.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that Olam Hazeh?
So he's talking about the future. These are the brachas for Klal Yisrael.
There's a lot of holes with what's going on.
Yeah? So, Rivka's perspective was that this is actually what's going to keep Yaakov Avinu in line. Listen to this. Imagine for a minute, says Rivka, that Esav has Olam Hazeh. And Yaakov is always going to get Olam Haba. He's always going to get the brachas of Birchas Avraham. That was always going to happen. He was destined for that. That's what you see from the end of the parsha. What Esav says, you don't have no brachas for me. Jesus says, that's right, no more brachas for you. And why does he have brachas at the end of the parsha? Because that was always going to Yaakov Avinu, Birchas Avraham. So what was she, if Esav gets the brachas of Olam Hazeh, and Yaakov goes off the derech a little bit, if Klal Yisrael messes up, and they have no Olam Hazeh, just imagine this, right? The Klal Yisrael was destined to be poor. We can't make money. There are people like that, you know? The people, they no matter what they draw. So they have to live like that. So Esav has to support him, right? Yaakov's going to live a life where he's constantly being supported by Esav. Maybe that's a redeeming value. Maybe that'll save Esav, says Yitzchak. Who knows? Because he's supporting Yaakov in all of his endeavors. Maybe that's how it's supposed to go. Rivka says absolutely not. What's going to happen if Yaakov Avinu, meaning Klal Yisrael in the future, what happens if they mess up? What are you going to do to them? Take away their Olam Hazeh? They don't have any. But if they do have Olam Hazeh, and then it's taken away. They go into Gullus. The Goyim take something away from Klal Yisrael. So then Klal Yisrael is going to turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, you know, help us. So it's B'dafka, the brachas of Olam Hazeh, that creates our interactions with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, how's there going to be this interaction? The Rambam, when he quotes it from Gemara Yevamos, when the Rambam paskins this, he mentions this lahalacha, that when a person, a non-Jew, comes to convert, so what do we say to them? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
you heard of the Holocaust? You want to be part of this? And the Rambam writes that if they say, Yoideya ani ve'eini chedai, I know and I'm not even worthy. What? You mean, afal pichein, despite that, this is MS. That's what we expect the Rambam to write, no? That if the non-Jew says, I know about it, but this is the truth. So I'm willing to suffer the consequences, the hatred, the anti-Semitism. No. The person has to say, I know and I'm not worthy. Worthy of what? So that's the pshat. That's what Rav Kahn likes to say over his pshat in the Rambam. Is that the pshat in the Gemara in Yevamos? Because every time that there's this struggle with the Goyim, it's a message from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, because we have a relationship. That's a famous word from the Kaddish Rebbe. What was the punishment to the snake? You're going to eat dirt. Gewaldig, you know? Talk about Hansel and Gretel. You're like, everywhere you go, there's like gingerbread men. Every tree, you know, the ground is chocolate. Like, what's the problem? Everywhere you go, you got food. Nothing to worry about. So as the Kaddish Rebbe said, there's no bigger klala than that. Because it's as if a Kaddish Baruch Hu said, goodbye, you're on your own. We don't have a relationship anymore. You don't need the daven, you don't need rain, you don't need nothing. Just go eat the dirt. The bracha is in the relationship. That when there are challenges, that Kaddish Baruch Hu says, I need you to turn to me in tefillah. How come the imos were akaros? What did Chazal say? Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu is mis'avel tefillah and shal tzaddikim. Kaddish Baruch Hu is a taiva for the tefillah of the tzaddikim. Because that's what it's all about. That's how we grow. That's how we have a relationship with Hashem. So if we don't have Olam Hazah, says Rivka, how is that ever going to happen? We have to have it so it can be taken away. So how does this answer all of our questions? Does Yaakov Avinu want the brachas? No, he doesn't want the brachas. He's making excuses because he knows that this is going to be a tremendous danger for his future, for Klal Yisrael's future. He doesn't want the brachas of Olam Hazah. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Ram levavecha b'shachachta. What was Yitzhak thinking? Did he really think? He didn't know it. He knew it. The brachas of Olam Hazeh were supposed to go to. That was his perception. And the brachas of Olam Haba, everything that has to do with Zera Avraham and Birchas Avraham, that was always going to go to Yaakov. That's where you see the end of the parasha. So what is this machlekas over here? The machlekas is Olam Hazeh. How do we view Olam Hazeh? Should it go to Klal Yisrael? Should it not go to Klal Yisrael? That's really what it's all about. And from that perspective, you can understand the parasha. A lot of people think that this is just like misunderstandings and, you know, can't understand the machlekes. And that's also part of it, is that Rivka and Yitzchak, we don't know exactly what their relationship was like. It does sound like Yitzchak was on this different plane. And I don't know. I don't know how many conversations Rivka and Yitzchak had in terms of that. It's hard to know. But what is clear is that Yitzchak was convinced about his mahalach, and Rivka was convinced about her mahalach. And so she tried something. She tried sending Yaakov in. And if a Kaddish Baruch Hu really wants it my way, then let a Kaddish Baruch Hu pull it off. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu did. And when Yitzhak realized that's what happens, because nothing happens unless a Kaddish Baruch Hu allows it. So Yitzhak realized that was the Charedah Gedolah Ad Ma'od. Not just that Esav was such a Rasha, but that his perception of what was supposed to be in the future was not correct. But he admits, okay, if that's what a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, Gamba Baruch Yeyeh, and he's going to have the Baruch, because that's the way that it's supposed to be. Which brings us to where we are, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu said, be very careful. Be very careful. Ramla babecha v'shachachta. You will have the brachas of Olam Hazeh. And we do have the brachas of Olam Hazeh. Baruch Hashem. Klal Yisrael in general does very well, even when we go into galus. But like Rivka said, that just sets up the scenario for our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So there are times when we lose things. There are times when we face challenges. And when we're doing well, we should never forget about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And when we face our challenges, we always need to remember that that's an opportunity to call out to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, because a Kaddish Baruch Hu is mis'aveh. He has a taiva, if you could say such a thing. An irrational need, because he doesn't need anything. For the tefillos of tzaddikim, because that's what the relationship is all about. That was the klala to the nachash. But the bracha to us is that we have this relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. To have the brachas of Olam Hazeh, but at the same time, within that, to recognize it just as brachas from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, to thank a Kaddish Baruch Hu for all of the brachas we always have, and we should definitely focus on the brachas of Avraham and realize that we are the Zera Avraham. We are focused on Olam Haba, and we only utilize Olam Hazeh as a tool to help us to get all of that Olam Haba that we should all receive in abundance and merit Mashiach Mehir Yemin. Thank you.